me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah.
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth. Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Flies.
King of Crack.
The Colossus of Cloud. The Colossus of Cloud.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery. Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. I don't have a tune for you, Bill. We got to figure out a theme tune for you, Bill.
Yeah.
And our producer is Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The number here is 312-332-3776. You can give us a call, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what your item might sell for in a current auction. And you can tweet me an item. My Twitter ID is at TCrownTom. You can do that during the week. There's some already up here, actually, during the week that we'll, if we get to them during the show, you'll get in the drawing. Nobody contacted us last week. So we're going to do two drawings again this week. One drawing will be for a 2014 Top Supreme baseball box, which has two autographs in it and very nice looking cards. And the other drawing will be for a Ball of Fame 2 box from Historic Autographs, which actually the Ball of Fame is a signed baseball. And last week we had Kevin Hefner from Historic Autographs on. He was actually a very good guest, Bill. It was interesting having him on last week.
Oh, yeah. Kevin's a talker.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to talk about anything. So
we'll
put him on a couple more times this year.
Definitely. He's definitely has his opinions on things, and I liked some of his ideas. I like it. I like the idea. I don't like it when a card company buys a really nice piece of memorabilia and then cuts it up for cards. I think if it's like a broken bat or if it's a ripped jersey, that's one thing but when it's a real prime piece of memorabilia, I agree with Kevin that should almost be in a museum or something, but that should stay full size for a collector.
Although if they want to cut a piece of Babe Ruth's jersey and give it to me in a hit, I'll take that,
right. But it's nice in a hit, but I'd almost rather not have the card than have a really nice Babe Ruth jersey cut up. See that, like, I saw that being cut up, I'd be like, I don't know. So
I did see that one time, Tom. This guy had at his table behind it was a bag of all this little like wood chips, and I'm like, what is that? And he goes, that's a bat we cut up to be put in product. It just looked like mulch almost.
Oh, really?
Who did the bat belong to, Bill?
I don't remember.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But they cut off the certain little pieces of it, the label, the name. They slice those off because they make those sort of the key pieces. But
yeah.
The rest of it is just wood chips, you know.
Yeah, those, you know, actually the bat knob cards and the nameplate cards off the bats, those do make really neat cards when you get those pieces. Those go for some really good bucks too, but if it's a broken beat up bat, that's fine. Or if it's a, you know, not that, if it's a guy that there's bunches of bats out there, you know, like the modern day.
Bats, right?
Yeah, right. I'd like to get one of my little league bats, and those were pretty much taped together so many times by the time, we used to tape them until literally it was a tape bat, and then you'd have to get another one.
You could take those wood chips.
Now, Vince, if you got a Tom Morgan game used piece of bat, you wouldn't sell that, would you?
No. I might do the wood chips and put it around the yard, around the trees and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I bet it would be good mulch, actually, sure. now that you mention it. So we've got two good prizes this week. Bill, one of the guys that had dropped off consignments in the past through T Crown that I actually sent to you, was in this week. And this is something I told him I'd ask you this on the air if you take this. I think you might, but I don't know if you still do or not. He had Lionel trains from 1948 through the 50s, along with accessories. It was an operating. He had an operating train station in the original box. It sounded like he actually had some good stuff. Do you guys auction that type stuff still?
Oh, we've done well with that. Again, like you mentioned, Tom, it is kind of key and does add quite a bit to the value if they have the original boxes. Sometimes the boxes are worth as much as the train itself that was in the box.
Wow, really? Okay.
You know, where the car or whatever it was, engine or, you know.
He said what he had a pretty much stuff. He said it would be pretty heavy, big boxes to send, but that's all right, right? Can't you send boxes up to like 100 pounds FedEx?
Yeah, I think up to 70, yeah.
70 sure. pounds, is that what it is? Yeah, and then the April Huggins and Scott auction bidding begins March 30th in 2 weeks. Plus, Bill, aren't you going to be in Rosemont next week?
I will be, yes. We'll be there Thursday through Sunday at the Rosemont show there, and we've already got several appointments with people that are bringing us stuff, but we certainly have time and everything for more people if they want to stop by and discuss putting something. We do have the ability to get in some stuff into the last part of the April auction, the Web Gems part, as well as our June auction, and we're also right now collecting kind of neat items for the National Convention auction, our signature masterpiece auction, which is going to be where we display the stuff at the National, which is also going to be in Chicago in August.
Yeah, was that the first week in August, I guess?
Yeah.
Now, I saw for the April auction, there's already previews up at HugginsandScott.com. You really do add stuff every day just about on there. I just noticed last night, I decided to take a quick look at your site again. You had this 1887... four base hits, John Clarkson card, SGC 20, that with a 10,000 minimum bid. I guess that's the only graded version of that card. And the story behind it, the way I see, it was found in a late 1880s Holy Bible and was being used as a bookmark by the original owner. Is that right? Were you there when that came in?
That's absolutely true. The gentleman and his wife came up to our booth at the Philly show last weekend, and they had the card, and it looks absolutely gorgeous. I mean, if you see the picture of it, it looks like a 6 or a 7. The technical grade of a 1.5 is really due to two tiny little pinpoint paper loss spots on the card.
I wondered. Yeah, I thought it myself that looked like nice for that grade.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things where when we write up a lot of stuff like that technically has to be a 1.5 but looks like a 6, we always try and mention that, and a lot of our bidders, they're aware of that, especially when you get into old vintage one-of-a-kind cards like that. And there's been one other one that sold back in, I think, 03 through an auction that had clipped corners and it was sort of scuffed up and everything, and it sold for, I want to say, $8,000 or so. However, this one is far nicer and far, you know, much more valuable than that one. And I've talked with James, and if you look that card up in the book, Vince, under four base hits, it says questionable existence.
Yeah. Wow. Isn't that something?
And it books for $300,000.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Now, where did this come from? Did one of the guys around the country come across it, or did somebody come into your place, or how'd you find that?
No, like I said, it was a couple, a religious couple from Pennsylvania, walked up to our booth last week.
Oh, at the show.
Yeah, and they...
Did you know what it was when you first saw it, when they presented it to you? Did you recognize it?
I didn't know how rare it was.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, about a couple years ago at the National, a writer from Forbes magazine came up and did an interview with me, and he may have done it with some other people, about the 10 rarest cards in the hobby, so to speak. And three of the 10, the Wagner is number one, obviously, or rare, most popular, whatever. And on that top 10 list, there are three of these four base hits cards.
Wow. This is going to be interesting to watch this one. The bidding starts at HugginsandScott.com on March 30th. So we'll follow along with you and keep you updated and then tell you what the final bid is. And who knows, maybe some of our listeners out there might be in on the bidding on that. If you like to get the really difficult to get vintage cards, that's one of them. This John Clarkson, actually, a couple interesting things about him. He's a Hall of Fame pitcher, pitched with the White Stockings for a couple of years, but he had two seasons with over 600 innings pitched.
Wow.
Isn't that something, how much they used to pitch in those days?
Amazing.
Pitched a total of, I think, 12 seasons, Hall of Famer. So that will be a neat card to see how it does. The Riverview guy's on the line. What's up, Riverview guy?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm turning the big 6-7 tomorrow, Tom.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. You know, you get a free pack of T-Crown on your birthday. Triple Crown in Naperville.
Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you, Vince. I think Riverview closed in 67, if I'm not mistaken. So, anyway.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I've got a ball, American League, signed by Michael Jordan, and I have a certificate of authenticity. Yeah, I said it again.
Who's the certificate from? Is it Upper Deck?
No, it's from a company that sells sports memorabilia.
Okay.
They're a reputable dealer.
Sounds a little questionable. You know, I don't really like getting certificates on items that are... that there's a lot of forgeries out there if it's just by a local shop. I'm big on Upper Deck authenticated Jordan stuff, but aren't Jordan baseballs still in the $300 to $500 range, Bill, for single sign baseballs?
Oh, actually, if you get a UDA one, they're more in the $500 to $1,000 range.
The UDAs, yeah. So I think that's the big one. But if you came in, I don't care what the card shop is, if you came in with a Michael Jordan baseball and I'm almost to the point now on Jordan, if it's not Upper Deck, I don't even carry it, but it would have to be JSA or PSA DNA. I would not take any Jordan ball with anything less than that. Or what about you, Bill? Are you kind of the same way on that?
Oh yeah, you have to. There are so many forgeries out there of the Jordan stuff that it has to come with, like you said, either UDA, PSA, or JSA to be marketable anyway.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing for sure that Upper Deck authenticated. There's definitely a premium for Jordan items that are from Upper Deck. There's a lot of other nice stuff here on HugginsandScott.com. I saw you had an Ernie Banks. With Ernie Banks passing away, there's a lot of his items are selling in the Chicago area. You have an Ernie Banks rookie card that got a SGC X-Mint grade of 6. That'll be interesting to see what that ends up going for. Ernie's stuff is really... I'm sold out of everything. I'm sure a lot of the other Chicago area places have the same thing. A lot of his stuff is really be selling. Have you noticed any uptick, I guess, in prices on him the last couple of months, Bill, or can't you really tell?
Well, it's hard to tell. I mean, you would probably be a better barometer than I would, really, being in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like you just said, you've sold out of almost everything you had.
Right, yeah, and I would imagine that's been like that everywhere, so that almost has to bring up the price. It's kind of like when a movie comes out of a retired player, and people, they're back in people's minds, you know, that they see something about the guy. And then when you see something about him, you think, oh, I wonder what, his card or his autograph or whatever. And you start thinking about buying a memento of him. Like that boxing movie.
Cinderella Man.
Well, that was Braddock.
One of my favorite movies.
Yeah,
oh,
that was a great movie. But I remember when that came out, first thing I'm doing is looking up James Braddock stuff. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So I think that happens where they get in the public eye again and people just, it increases the demand for their items. So also another item in Huggins and Scott auction, starting, the bidding starts March 30th. There's a Derek Jeter 2009 signed game-used bat graded 9.5 by PSA DNA GU 9.5. How does that grading work on the bats, Bill?
Well, that it's, there's a lot of factors that go into giving the bat a number grade. I've talked with John Taube, who is the head grader and head authenticator for PSA DNA when they do the bats and everything. And he goes through a nice big process. I actually had him at my house one time to authenticate all my bats, and he weighs them, he measures them, he looks at the, he looks at them down the barrel and everything, and comes up with a technical grade based on game use and when it was issued and certain little characteristics that show that they have learned over the years that a certain player will do with his bats, whether they bang them on their cleats or whether they rub certain parts of it or certain tape, the way they tape it or something. And that goes into a lot of the grade, because sometimes other players will use other people's bats, and it may be a Derek Jeter bat, but somebody else may have used it, and you could tell by the characteristics on the bat that it was not Jeter who used it.
That's a good point that I never really thought of, but like a guy like Jeter, if he hits his spikes a lot with his bat, yeah, then those little spike indents, there should be some of those in there. I never even thought of that as another thing you'd look for game use, but yeah, that's a good point. So now it's time for a short break. The number here is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8 a.m. Central Time taking your questions about the value of your items. We're doing two drawings, a box of 2014 Top Supreme Baseball and a Ball of Fame 2 from Hall, Historic Autographs, which will be a signed baseball. So give us a call, or you can tweet me an item at TCrownTom. If we use it, you'll get in the drawing. We're on till 8. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. You can give us a call at 312-332-3776. We're doing two separate drawings this week. We're giving away a box of 2014 Top Supreme Baseball and a Ball of Fame 2 from Historic Autographs, which will be a signed, single signed baseball, which included, I guess, some really pretty big names, including Mickey Mantle. So give us a call or tweet me an item at TCrownTom. Brett tweeted me a neat item here. Bill, this is a game model bat from Steiner, signed by Hank Aaron with the 755 inscription for this total amount of home runs. Have you seen those run? Usually the Steiner items go for some pretty good bucks like that, the bats.
Oh, yeah, they do. I don't know if it was... most of the times when they do those things, they're a series, meaning it's probably numbered, I don't know, one out of X number or something like that. And the lower the number, the more the value on the item.
Okay.
But, you know, an Aaron bat from them with all that certificates and everything is probably $200 to $400.
Yeah, maybe more. It's a nice looking bat. I guess he doesn't show numbering. He's got the certificate picture with it, but it's a neat looking bat. Yeah, I like that. And now, from the what was I thinking department, Vince, I was just looking. I got the thing from my dentist. Guess when my appointment is?
Probably March 25th.
No. The day of the fantasy baseball draft. No, dumber than that.
April 1st.
What?
April 1st.
That's it. April Fool's Day. I'm going to the dentist. What was I thinking? Well, I remember them saying April 1st, and it was, you know, I go every, like, 6 months, I think, yeah, whatever. But then when it's coming up, it's like, who would go to the dentist on April Fool's Day?
You may have to reschedule that one.
Well, I hope she doesn't have a wicked sense of humor. Yeah, we're going to have to do 6 root canals or something, you know what I mean? So that's where I'll be on April Fool's Day, starting my day at the dentist. I hope there's no drilling. Oh, gosh.
That's going to be a Wednesday, isn't it?
I think that's right. So our fantasy baseball draft's in a week and a half.
March 25th. You have the third pick in the draft. I think I'm sitting with the second pick.
I don't like being behind you. How many times during that draft will you take somebody and I'll be like, oh, that's who I wanted?
Hopefully every time.
Yeah. Right. Was it football or baseball where I was right ahead of you? Was that football?
I think it was football, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Was it football? It might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I got a couple of oohs out of you, too,
definitely.
From that.
Definitely.
Now, Notre Dame, even before they won the ACC tournament by beating Duke and North Carolina in consecutive days, I was going to mention Notre Dame because they're the only area team in March Madness. Everybody's going to be doing their picks this week. And I'm thinking, how high do you pick Notre Dame? I've picked them a couple of times to advance in the past, and they fizzled out. They look pretty good this year. I'm debating, do I go to the Final Four with them? I don't think I do that. Do I do eight? I'm thinking I at least take them in the Sweet 16. I don't know. Have you thought about it, what you're doing?
The momentum is in Notre Dame's favor. It's that momentum. To beat Duke one night, you think they're going to be let down a little bit, but they come back and win. I mean, that says something about the team being having a shot.
Yeah, it really seems like they have a pretty good team this year. So it's always fun doing the picks. We'll have to see what how they do, but I got to pick them to win it. I mean, Illinois is not going to be in it. Northwestern's never been in it. Isn't that amazing,
that
Bill?
Is.
Northwestern has never been in the college basketball tournament. That's incredible to me. They're going to make it with Chris Collins as their coach. Sooner or later, they're going to make it. Another good coach in Chicago is Porter Mosier at Loyola. Chicago. They actually won 19 games this year. They don't get a ton of publicity, but I wouldn't be surprised if within the next couple of years they make the tournament at Loyola. He's a good guy. He's been in T Crown a couple of times too.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
I think he played at Bennett when he was in high school, so he's from the area. And I followed him, his coaching, and I think he's a really good coach. So I could see Loyola doing something. Those two teams, I think, will end up getting there sooner or later. Paul from Kenosha's on the line. What's up there, Paul?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
I've called before. I had these Packer mini helmets I've got from the Lombardi era. I've got 22 helmets with 23 autographs. The only one I had doubled up on, I have Paul Hornung and Max McGee on the same helmet since they always had a lot of history together.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if I was ever to get rid of would there ever be possible to get rid of a group of helmets like that? That big a group of mini helmets?
That would probably be a good auction lot, don't you think, Bill?
Oh, absolutely, Paul. Yeah, that would be a well received lot. They're all members of the first Super Bowl team, or?
Oh yes. The only one that's not on there is Nitschke. I don't have a Nitschke helmet, but I have Starr, Taylor, Hornung. All the other ones.
You have Lombardi also?
No, Lombardi didn't sell any. I don't think they had many helmets.
I was just thinking that. I don't think they probably didn't, because didn't he die right around 1970?
Yeah, right around there. Yeah, Lombardi mini helmet, you need a real story behind it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When's your first memory of mini helmets, Bill?
Gosh, I want to say the mid-90s,
Oh, really? I thought maybe older than that. But,
maybe so.
Yeah.
It could be, but... Yeah, it certainly wasn't 1970.
No, that's for sure. Yeah, that's a neat item. That'd be a good, maybe, what do you think, Bill, in getting closer to the football season, maybe run that in a Huggins and Scott auction if you wanted to?
Absolutely, Paul. If you want to, give me a call at the office. I'd be happy to revisit this with you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, the number at Huggins and Scott Auctions is 301-608-0355, right, Bill? Do I have the right number?
Yes, you do.
Okay, very good. You guys are in new offices now there in suburb of Washington, D.C., correct?
We are, yeah. We're still in Silver Spring, but our new offices are fabulous. I mean, it's just night and day from what we had before, and it makes well for like very smooth, coherent work going on there.
Okay, I just got a tweet from Phil. And he's got a point here. He says, what about Valpo? They're closer than South Bend. I forgot Valpo was in it, Phil. And, okay, now they're probably going to go to the Final Four, but I didn't really consider them getting past the first round. So I think that's probably why I ignored them, Phil. But hopefully you'll be able to call in or tweet next week and say, see, after they win a couple of rounds. Was that, that was Valpo a few years ago that made the miracle shot in the tournament, right? And when they advanced, wasn't that like 10 or 15 years ago?
I think they did. Every year there's a Cinderella team that comes out of nowhere and you want to root for them and you want them to, you know, knock off.
Yeah, that would be neat.
Seed,
so. Phil, tweet me. What was that miracle play? It was with, I think the coach's kid made the shot.
Wow.
Drew somebody or whatever. Phil, give me the details on that. It was a miracle. That's all I know. It was a miracle. So I still think Notre Dame will go further than Valpo, though, Phil. That's one thing. Okay, we got Sid is on the road, just traveling down the highway, listen to Sports Collecting Show. What's up, Sid?
Hi, guys. I have a Walter Payton card set that I got through Sears, if you can believe it. It's got all Walter Payton, his whole career, nothing but Walter Payton cards. It's got a booklet with it, and it has a certificate. It comes in a little plastic container with all the cards.
Were any of the cards signed by Walter?
No, I wish, but no.
Yeah, I've never heard of a Sears Walter Payton collection. What year were they from?
You know what? It's up in my closet. I can tell you I've had it for about 20 years.
Hmm. It doesn't sound like something that would be that valuable to me, but
probably not. But I just thought.
Yeah, I mean, is there something that I don't know about the Sears Walter Payton set, Bill?
No, nothing I've heard of.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll probably have to bring it in somewhere and maybe bring it into your shop and have you look at it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you can at least either tweet me a picture of a group of the cards or email me tom@tcrowntom.com. Then I can look it up and see if I can find any that have sold. Speaking of emails, I actually got a couple pretty funny listeners' emails this week. Did I forward you this one where he was saying he was a big fan of the show, but he called us knuckleheads? And it was like, I was like, well, thanks, whatever his name was. Thanks, I think.
And then he asked about something.
But yeah, I've been getting actually more and more emails from listeners during the week. Oh yeah, one guy wanted to know, he goes, I listen every week. I love the show. He goes, how do I get in a drawing without calling in or tweeting? It's like, well, I guess if in an email, I guess you can, if you email me an item and I use it, or even a question, it could be about sports or something. Like, for instance, Phil from Twitter, he's going to be in it. I think he lives in Valpo. And Phil did tweet me again here, Bryce Drew, that's who made that shot. Yeah. Yeah. And that was Valpo. So there we go. And Drew did play for the Bulls. Here Phil is also saying Drew played for the Bulls, and he coaches Valpo now.
Wow.
So his dad used to coach that. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah, it was from 1998. I'm looking right at the little blurb here. March 13th, 1998. He beat Oklahoma with the game.
Yeah,
shot.
It was a really neat design play, and they made the shot, and it was
no. It happened in Oklahoma.
Thing.
He beat Mississippi. That's
is that what it
yeah,
was?
He beat
okay.
Mississippi.
I thought it was actually at the United Center. So, that's interesting. And then Max actually tweeted me a question: do you think they'll release trading cards from all the teams Will Ferrell played on for the day? That's actually not a bad idea. Yep. And I had tweeted back to him that it would be a good idea to get some signed too. Can you imagine if, like, he signed 10 cards from each team?
Yeah, that'd that be
they,
cool.
Oh, those would be valuable cards. What's your estimate of a value of a Topps card signed by Will Ferrell in a White Sox jersey, for instance, Bill?
I would defer to Tom Morgan on that.
I'm
going to
say hundreds. I think that would be multiple hundreds. I think on eBay, the first one, I think the Cubs would probably go really high because, you know, he's probably their best player. That's old.
Did you hear what John Madden said about what Will Ferrell was
doing?
Yeah,
you know, I did read that. And come on, John. He raised over $1 million for cancer research. It's spring training. Yep. You break up spring training. If this was regular season, that's one
right.
thing. But this is raising money for cancer research and added a little fun to spring training. That to me showed what a grumpy old man John Madden is what it did. I think that's in the Tribune, actually. Do you have the actual quote that he read on it?
No, I didn't. Other than he said, you know, if that was football, he'd tell his linebackers to give this guy a welcoming hit or something like that.
Yeah, here's the deal. It was on page 2 of the Tribune this morning, sports page. Farrell played for 10 MLB teams. Cubs and White Sox were among the teams Farrell suited up for as he drew laughs from players and fans in attendance. Madden, however, wasn't amused. I hate it. That's a lack of respect. It's a spring training game. You're supposed to be, you know, have a little fun mixed in there. This isn't a regular season game.
Right.
Regular season game, fine. You don't want that happening. But they're having fun with it, and I disagree wholeheartedly, especially because of the charity part with it.
Yep.
And if they made cards of them and sent some of that money to that charity, that would be all the better. Yep. You know, keep it going. So sorry, John Madden, I disagree. So back to the Bill Huggins and Scott auctions. The bidding begins March 30th. Go to HugginsandScott.com. There's lots of neat items up there already. There's a Ty Cobb single sign baseball personalized and dated July 30th, 1919. I think he just put 19 on it. So that led me, Bill, to how much does it help to have an item like that dated when somebody signs either a baseball or a, you know, if proving that it's farther back in their career or whatever, does it help the value quite a bit or not that much?
Oh, yeah. No, anytime it's dated, especially if it can be determined by the authenticators that the notations on it were in the player's hand as opposed to maybe somebody who got it signed just wrote that on there so they would remember when they got it signed. But, no, if it's a notation from the player, it is certainly a gigantic plus on those because very few of them have it.
I got I think this guy might have come in first and then he emailed me some pictures, but he had postcards with postal stamps from the 40s that were signed by some guys. Like, for instance, a Stan Musial, he was signed all kinds of stuff, but if it's a 1942 signed item, that's got to be worth way more than one he signed in 2000.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You get some of those signatures, especially Mantle or somebody like that, who their signature just radically evolved over the years, and you get some of the early ones. They're in far greater demand than the ones where he sat down at a card show and signed 800 or 1,000 autographs.
Absolutely, yeah. Very good. Okay, well, it's time for another short break. We're on till 8 a.m. Central Time taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, and we're giving away two prizes this week, which will be delivered to your door free of charge by Vince at ercdelivery.com. So give us a call, 312-332-3776. Still time to get in the drawing, and hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We'll try to give you an estimate of what they might sell for in a current auction. And the number's 312-332-3776. Or you can tweet me an item at TCrownTom on Twitter. And if we use it in the show, you'll get in the drawing. Jeff from Highland tweeted me a Tim Raines game-used bat from the White Sox, a picture of it. Pretty neat item. Bill, you think that would be enough for a Huggins and Scott auction, a Raines White Sox game-used bat?
I would say yes, especially there again, if we were to get it authenticated and it were to grade like a 9 or better, for sure.
Would you say he should wait until maybe Raines makes the Hall of Fame? I think he's got a shot at it. Should he?
That may be a good one. I mean, some of these guys, they say like, oh, you'll wait until Jeter goes into the Hall of Fame. I got news for you. Jeter's
right.
Already in the Hall of Fame. We just
right. Can
tell what date he's going to be.
That's absolutely. He already gets traded like he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but Tim Raines, these guys who make the Hall of Fame that literally were on the fence type thing, those are the items that literally double overnight.
Yeah. Right, you know, so
not the Jeters or the Nolan Ryans or the Ripkins, the guys who are automatically in, but the
the guys who make it, the Don, you know, if a Don Newcomb or a Hal Newhouser or something makes it in, those guys, they literally doubles overnight.
Yeah, when Ron Santo finally made it, that helped his memorabilia quite a bit. Well, we got a ton of phone calls waiting here, so let's get to them. We've got Bob from Lake in the Hills. What's going on there, Bob?
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Great.
I have a kind of an interesting item. I have a frame collage of small Sports Illustrated covers with one big Sports Illustrated cover, all of Michael Jordan, signed by Michael Jordan.
Oh, so the actual Sports Illustrated in the middle of the frame is signed by Jordan. Is it Upper Deck authenticated, or how'd you get
PDA.
It?
PDA. I actually got it at a silent auction a number of years ago.
PDA. I'd probably have somebody else look at that. But if that's authentic, what do you think in the value of that, Bill?
Well, I think it may be an Upper Deck authenticated thing, Bob.
UDA you think it could be?
Possibly. I vaguely remember seeing one of those where they put up one of his covers and then all the 9 or 12 or 16 covers he's been on around it.
That's exactly it.
Okay, if that's UDA and not PDA, that's actually really good then, Bob. That's a good thing. UDA is Upper Deck authenticated.
Yeah, maybe it is UDA. Maybe I'm just mistaken. How much do you think that would go for?
Those are probably close to $1,000.
Yeah, I think so. That's good. What'd you pay for in the auction? Sometimes charity auctions can go pretty high.
Yeah, this is only, I paid $250 for it.
Whoa, Bob.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Bob hits the jackpot. If he's driving on the road right now, he just turned the radio off and he's rocking, is he? All right, Al from Tinley Park's on the line. What's new, Al? Were you out celebrating St. Patrick's Day last night?
No, it was an early night for me.
Oh, that's good.
Two little kids you got to stay in.
Yeah, that's for sure, Al.
Hey, I have a Leonard Nimoy PSA authenticated cut signature. It's framed with the, you know, the picture and everything, and I'm just curious, since he passed away, how much of a jump in value that may have.
You know, he had autographs in a Topps product, and they were selling for $150, $200. What was it called? Or was it Topps? There was a Star Trek product that just came out about 6 months ago. Cut signature, I think just a cut without any Star Trek look to it, those aren't as much of him, are they, Bill?
No, I haven't seen them spike really in value yet, but who knows, Al? It's certainly something that will probably be on the forefront of people's minds here in the next few months.
Yeah, and, you know, any of those type, whenever it's especially a television star that was known for, really well known for just one part, and this was television and movies that he was known for, that if a product comes out by trading card companies and he's shown as that character and then it's signed, it usually will sell quite a bit more than just a cut signature, even if it's a cut signature that comes out in a card product but doesn't show him in that setting from that part, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes sense. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think Nimoy's stuff is better when he's shown as Spock with a picture of Spock in with it. And we've got Mark from Elgin on the line. What's going on there, Mark? What do you have?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I worked for an airline, and before the Bulls got their charter, the airline used to upgrade a narrow body to wide body and put all the Bulls in first class. The last time the Bulls lost to Detroit, I was on that plane, and I got a printout of first class, and every single Bull signed next to a seat number.
Huh, really?
And, if you remember, that was when Phil Jackson was the assistant and Mark Collins was the coach.
Yeah.
And then Jordan was also on the cover of Sports Illustrated that month. So I have that signed as well, and I have it all in a framed and a non-yellowing glass and everything.
Oh, I like that, actually. That's right before they actually clicked. I like the fact that Phil Jackson was on there. It's kind of just the... that's the lead-in, you know, just right before they finally got over the hump. So... that's neat. What do you think on that being signed in? So that would have been late 80s, probably like what, 89 maybe, something like that?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but it is every player. It's every coach. It's the assistant coach, the trainers, everything.
I'd love to see a picture of that, actually, Mark, if you can tweet it or email that to me. And are you thinking of selling it in an auction, or are you just going to hang on to it?
No, I'd love to sell it in an auction.
Oh, well, Bill Huggins, I would imagine, would like to handle that, wouldn't you, Bill?
Oh, absolutely, Mark. Give me a call during the week. I'd be happy to there again revisit this with you and see if we can't at least come up with an estimate once we can see it and get everything authenticated and all.
That would have to be one of the first group items that has Jordan, Pippen, and Phil Jackson all together on it, you know, because he was an assistant. I bet he wasn't signed on a lot of the team stuff back then, so that's pretty cool. I like that.
And you also got the moment in time factor,
right.
So
yeah.
That's pretty
right when
impressive.
They're getting over the
yep.
hump. So this was on the plane after they lost to Detroit in the playoffs. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, it was like at 5:30 in the morning or something like that. They were all dead. As a matter of fact, they didn't have iPhones back then. I wish I had a picture because Pippen had his head on Horace Grant's neck. You know, he was just laying on or laying on his shoulder.
Wasn't the time when Pippen had the migraine, was it?
You know, I honestly don't recall.
Huh. Yeah, that would be something good to look up because if you're selling it, that would be just another fact that goes with it that actually helps the value in selling it. So the more info like that you have, the better. I was talking about emails from listeners. I tweeted a picture of this. I don't know where it is. I've got a lot of things here on T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, but one of the listeners liked the show and he thought we'd like to see. He had a top 50 all-time White Sox players in a big collage with different cards and pictures and all that. It really looked good. It was neat seeing all the different guys and at different times in their career. So that was a neat picture. I like that one. So anytime you want to do that, send me an email. I like seeing that stuff during the week or tweet to @TCrownTom. And if you do that, or I'll start reading more emails and including people in the drawings if we use their emails also. So we'll do it that way. Why not? It's
whatever
our show.
Works.
We can
That's
do whatever
right.
we want.
Yes, you can.
Vince will deliver it free of charge sure. no matter who wins. So what sure. the heck? Mike from Arlington Heights is on the line. What's up, Mike?
Good morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for taking my call. I have two items from sports movies.
Oh, I like that.
I have one. One is just a baseball card of Roy Hobbs from The Natural.
Okay, I've seen that for, okay. Those I don't think go for a ton.
No, I was just curious.
Yeah.
And the other one is I have a Field of Dreams ball autographed by Dwyer Brown, who plays John Kinsella, you know, Kevin Costner's father.
Okay, the dad. Now, I've never seen his signature.
Yeah. He's the one that really the movie's about. So
was he just signing somewhere recently?
Signing at Linford Winery.
Okay.
He was signing. He wrote a book. He had a book signing there.
Mm-hmm. Bill, would you recommend Kevin Costner on that ball?
Oh yeah, if you get Kevin Costner on a ball, those get several hundred dollars or more.
So that's your new In Search Of, Mike. You're in
okay.
search of. You're going to hound Kevin Costner until he signs that ball.
I was just curious because I happen to have a Field of Dream ball, so I figured I got to have this guy autographed.
That's neat.
Bottom,
and then I'd try to get anybody else from that cast on it. If you could get the more the merrier on that, but
definitely
get Costner. See, now you're going to be traveling the country and you'll be stuck in traffic and like in the heat in August going, that Tom on a radio show. Well, when you get it done, Mike, show it to me. And then
thank you very much. Have a nice day.
It'll be worth a lot. That would be a neat item. Darren from LaMansa on the line. What do you have there, Darren?
I got a set of baseball cards that are Reggie Jackson with all his cards in Oakland.
That are, what is it?
It's a set of cards. There was a photographer out in California by the name of Steve Ray. Passed away a few years ago. He was big in the drag racing scene. He was real good friends with Reggie Jackson. And Reggie had a whole warehouse full of cars that burned down. I think it was in 89 when that SF came through Oakland area.
Okay, Reggie was a collector.
And still is.
Okay.
So I have pictures of all the cars that were in that collection that over a period of 2 years that they took pictures of, and I got the cards signed. So Reggie's sitting, he's got an old Shelby Cobra that he had. I got the pictures of him by the cars, and all of them are signed by him.
Oh,
and
wow.
I picked them up from Steve Reyes' son, and I was best friends with his uncle. So
okay.
They live in town here. But, yeah, Reyes moved out there. He was in the drag racing scene. and took all these pictures. There was five sets that I know of that were made, and they were made by Star. Star produced them out of their printing press.
Hmm.
So there might be more, but I don't know if these were extras that he had printed out to give to his kids.
Well, I imagine, Bill, you haven't seen any of these sell, but don't you think that sounds like it's kind of interesting? Would you want to see them first about whether you'd want to auction them?
Oh, yeah. No, that sounds like a great item. And like you said, the fewer that were made, the more it's going to sell for.
Yeah. So you think there might only be five sets?
That's what his father told me.
Wow.
I think there was five original sets. There might have been two or three that were done extra for him, but I know there was five of them that they were so-called commissioned to Reggie here to, I don't know what he was going to do with them. But
if you guys know Reggie, or if you know somebody who knows Reggie and you can get some more info on that, and then get him to sign something that, you know, he signed X amount of these, that would help for Bill, and then that would be a good auction item. And
I have pictures of him signing almost all of them at a show back at, I think it was the Hyatt downtown back in 91 or 92.
Oh, well, cool. Well, contact Bill Huggins at HugginsandScott.com this week, and you guys might be able to work out a deal where you get one of those in the auction then. I think that would be interesting to see how they did. Let's move quickly here now. Keith from Bolingbrook's on the line. What do you have there, Keith?
Morning, guys. My brother has a Wheaties box signed by Michael Jordan. And it's a pretty interesting story how my brother got it. My brother was one of the top caddies at Edward Valley Country Club, and he caddied for Michael Jordan. And Michael took him in his Corvette to the grocery store, and my brother bought a box, and he signed it for my brother.
Wow, that's cool.
Very nice. Because, you know, Michael's a good golfer and a very nice guy, and my brother was so excited when he got home, and he was jumping up and down. He couldn't believe it, you know, that he got the Wheaties box signed by Michael Jordan.
See, now that cool. I've never been big on Wheaties boxes, but for getting them signed by the guy on the cover, now that I do like. And what would you think that would be worth, Bill? 500 maybe, more or less?
Yeah, I would think so. I like the story about how he got the ride in Jordan's Corvette.
It's pretty cool because Michael was sponsored by Chevy at that time, and he had a brand new Corvette, and he took my brother to the store to get it signed. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That really is awesome. That's a great story. Now we've got a couple more here on Twitter. Paul has a 1997 Tim Duncan scoreboard rookie with authentic autograph printed on it. Oh, except it isn't an autograph. Never mind, Paul. We don't have time for that one. Now, if you had a scoreboard autograph of Tim Duncan from his rookie year, I'd want to get that authenticated by somebody else. That's what I was going to say on that particular item. PJ from Chicago's on the line. What do you have, PJ?
I have a 2005 World Series ball signed by the complete White Sox team.
Now, that's cool. At the time, I think those were going $1,500 to $2,000 maybe when they were originally selling those. And I think they're quite a bit lower now, but I could see them going back up again in the future. It's one of those things, everybody wants them, then they get back to the White Sox and not winning much for, you know, a few years, and then the demand goes down. But I could see when that demand would probably go back up again is, like, let's say this year they make a run for the World Series or they get in it. Then people would be looking back at the 59 stuff and then the 05 stuff. Don't you think, Bill, that's kind of the ebb and flow of items like that?
Oh, yes. What have you done for me lately? And who's on TV every night?
Yeah, and it really, there is a fact that if they're not playing well, the demand just drops for it. It's the White Sox, they're, you know, a horrible year or whatever.
Us Washington Redskins fans can attest to that.
Oh, that's for sure. So it's a neat item. I'd love to have one, but right now I think they're only selling for $500 or $600. I think that's the most recent one that I saw. I haven't looked recently because they weren't very good last year, and I wasn't even looking. So there you go. That's proof right there. Here's Alan from the North Shore. What do you have, Alan?
Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
So, good. All right. So this is exactly what I got. This is about an 18 foot by, or I'm sorry, It's about a foot and 6 inches. And
that's, okay, so is it bigger than my wall, or is it something that can hang on my wall? Alan, were you out? Are you Irish, Alan? Were you out late last night for St. Patrick's Day?
How dare you talk to me like that, my friend?
Okay, so were you out late, Alan?
He was.
I was up over in North Kenosha County.
Okay, sounds like you're just on your way home now, huh? Well, Alan, why don't you give us a call back on this item, get the measurements, and next week you can call us again. Brendan from Palos Hills is on the line. What's up, Brendan?
Yeah, how you guys doing? I actually pulled a from the 2014 Bowman Jumbo, Jose Abreu, one of one, Tom die cut autograph. The odds on the back of the pack were pulling it were 1 in 244,000.
Oh, jeez. Well, the odds almost don't really matter because it's a one of one. Now, did you say there's a patch with it too? A White Sox patch auto?
Or? No, it's just an autograph. It's just his autograph on the one of one.
Okay, is that is it a super fractor?
I mean, it's not the super fractor because it's the one of one die cut atomic autograph.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah. Well, you know his stuff. He had a really good second half last year. His OPS plus was actually better in the second half than in the first half. But his home runs went down, and the team wasn't winning. So actually the value of his stuff kind of dropped off. So if I were you, I would wait to sell that until, if you're going to sell it, auction it this year once the season gets started and he gets off to a really good start. We're already down into the end of the show. Time to do the drawing.
All right, for the Top Supreme Baseball Card Box, Sid from on the road. So Sid, email me, vince@ercdelivery.com. I'll get back to you, set up delivery at your convenience, free of charge. And for the baseball, this week's winner is Mark from Elgin. So, Mark, email me also.
Vince@ercdelivery.com is the email. And Vince will set up a delivery with ERC free of charge right to your door. Bill Huggins, HugginsandScott.com, Huggins and Scott Auctions. The auction starts March 30th. And, Bill, you'll be in Rosemont Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Actually, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Friday.
Oh, it starts. The show starts Thursday night.
No, but I get in Thursday because I meet with a lot of people.
Oh, okay. All right, so they should call you maybe Monday or Tuesday if they wanted to set something up. Call you at HugginsandScott.com.
Absolutely, be there all week.
Okay, have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.